Good afternoon. I'm going to welcome you to this memorial service for Virginia Clapp, and let me say something about what a memorial service is, at least in my mind. It is a time of remembrance, and remembering is a good thing. In fact, one of the great tragedies that we recognize in life is when we are meeting people who are no longer able to remember. When I was out of town for a couple weeks ago, I read the original 1911 story of Peter Pan, story of a boy who did not want to grow up. He remained childlike. And the author pointed out that one of the characteristics of being childlike was that he couldn't remember things. So at the end of the story, the grown-up Wendy, who had shared in his adventures, made an inquiry about Tinkerbell. And Peter Pan said, "Who is Tinkerbell?" And I thought that was one of the saddest things I ever heard. Our God calls us to rejoice in the remembrance of good things which have been done by Him, things which we benefit from. Remember at the Last Supper, Jesus said, "Do this in remembrance of me." And Peter, when he writes to the churches, he says, "I think it right, as long as I am in this body, to stir you up by way of a reminder." That doesn't mean that people who are remembering are living in the past. It's simply a way of recognizing that God really does do good things in this fallen world. And if we are going to point this afternoon off and on to Ginny Clapp, it is because God deserves praise for what He has done through her. Remember what Jesus said, "Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works and glorify your Father who is in heaven." And the reason God receives the glory is because God is the one who is performing these things. So as we begin, let us hear, as kind of like a call to worship, I suppose, the words of Jesus when He said, "I am the resurrection and the life. He that believeth in me, though he were dead, yet shall he live. And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" What a way to start with good news. And let's speak good news to each other now. If you take your hymnal and turn to selection 699, "Like a River Glorious," let's stand together and sing 699.
Glorious is God's perfect peace. Over
Amen. Let's pray together. And now, our Father God, you who are the God who inhabits eternity, we give you our thanksgiving that you have, through your Son, invited us to share in the riches of your holy life, not only now, but into eternity. You, who are the living God, being the same yesterday, today, and forever. We are asking that you would grant us here in this place your presence to strengthen our hearts, that we may not, as our forefathers used to say, faint under the affliction of your providence. Instead, we are asking that your presence would make us strong by grace, that we may continue to cast our cares upon you and continue to draw near to the throne of grace to find help in the time of need. So in this hour, we are asking for your special presence through your Holy Spirit, and we ask for this blessing with confidence because we're praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Be seated, please. Now we know how much Ginny and Wes have liked hymns, so we're going to sing again. If you take your hymnal and turn to selection 455, we're going to stand again and sing "And Can It Be?" 455.
Thank you.
all God's people said,
Amen.
Be seated, please. And now let us give our attention to the reading of the Word of God.
This is Psalm 90, the song of Moses. Lord, Thou hast been our dwelling place in all generations. Before the mountains were brought forth, wherever Thou hast formed the earth and the world, even from everlasting to everlasting, Thou art God. Thou turnest man to destruction and sayest, Return, ye children of men. For 1,000 years in Thy sight are but as yesterday when it is past, and as a watch in the night. Thou carriest them away as with a flood, they are as asleep. In the morning they are like grass which groweth up. In the morning it flourish, and in the morning it flourish and groweth up, and in the evening it is cut down and withereth. For we are consumed by thine anger, and by thy wrath we are troubled. Thou hast set our iniquities before thee, our secret sins in the light of thy countenance. For all our days are passed away in thy wrath. We spend our years as a tale that is told. The days of our years are 80 years, and if by reason of strength they be 80 years, yet is their strength labor and sorrow, for it is soon cut off, and we fly away. Who knoweth the power of thine anger, even according to thy fear? So is thy wrath. So teach us to number our days, that we may apply our hearts unto wisdom. Return, O Lord, how long, and let it repent thee concerning thy servants. O satisfy us early with thy mercy, that we may rejoice and be glad all our days. Make us glad according to the days wherein thou hast afflicted us, and the years wherein we have seen evil. Let thy work appear unto thy servants, and thy glory unto their children. And let the beauty of the Lord our God be upon us, and establish thou the work of our hands upon us. Yea, the work of our hands, establish thou it.
My name is David Clapp. I am the nephew of Jenny Clapp. My wife Nancy and I are here from Sarasota, Florida. And we are excited to be here to celebrate the life of Aunt Jenny. And so I read this afternoon Psalms 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the strength of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When the wicked, even my enemies and my foes, came upon me to eat up my flesh, they stumbled and fell. Though a host should encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war should rise up against me, in this will I be confident. One thing I have desired of the Lord, that will I seek after, that I may dwell in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and to inquire in his temple. For in the time of trouble, he shall hide me in his pavilion. In the secret of his tabernacle shall he hide me. He shall set me up upon a rock. And now shall my head be lifted up above mine enemies round about me. Therefore will I offer in his tabernacle sacrifices of joy. I will sing, yea, I will sing praises unto the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry with my voice. Have mercy also upon me, and answer me. When thou saidst, Seek my face, my heart said unto thee, Thy face, Lord, will I seek. Hide not thy face far from me, put not thy servant away in anger. Thou hast been my help, leave me not, neither forsake me, O God of my salvation. When my father and my mother forsook me, then the Lord will take me up. Teach me thy way, O Lord, and lead me in the plain path because of mine enemies. Deliver me not over unto the will of mine enemies, for false witnesses are risen up against me, and such as breathe out cruelty. I had fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait on the Lord. Be of good courage, and he shall strengthen thine heart. Wait, I say, on the Lord.
Good afternoon. GPSs. It's impossible. I'm Henry Dowdy, and my wife Ruth is playing the piano. We come from Northeast Connecticut. There's a bit of a run down here for a couple of days, but we're looking forward to continually to meet family and friends. And this afternoon we're going to consider the great section of 1 Corinthians written by Paul. 1 Corinthians 15. There is one glory of the sun and another glory of the moon, another glory of the stars, for one star differeth from another in glory. So also is the resurrection of the dead. It is sown in corruption, it is raised in incorruption. It is sown in dishonor, it is raised in glory. It is sown in weakness, it is raised in power. It is sown a natural body, but it is raised a spiritual body. There is a natural body and there is a spiritual body. And so it is written, the first man, Adam, was made a living soul. The last Adam was made a quickening spirit. Howbeit, that was not first which is spiritual, but that which is natural, and afterwards that which is spiritual. The first man is of the earth, earthy. The second man is the Lord from heaven. As is the earthy, so are they also that are earthy. And as is the heavenly, such are they also that are heavenly. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. Now this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither does corruption inherit incorruption. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, "Death is swallowed up in victory." O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, who gives us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord.
Good afternoon. I'm Paul Doughty. This was my father, Henry Doughty. I didn't have to come all the way from Connecticut. I live in Maryland with my family, so I just came down for the 2 days. I am a nephew of my Uncle Wes, so that's how I'm connected in. I'd like to share with you now a vision of the river of life from Revelation 22, 1 through 5. And he showed me a pure river of water of life, clear as crystal, proceeding out of the throne of God and of the Lamb. And in the midst of the street of it, and on either side of the river, was there the tree of life, which bare 12 manner of fruits, and yielded her fruit every month. And the leaves of the tree were for the healing of the nations. And there shall be no more curse, but the throne of God and of the Lamb shall be in it, and his servants shall serve him, and they shall see his face, and his name shall be in their foreheads. And there shall be no night there, and they need no candle, neither light of the sun, for the Lord God giveth them light, and they shall reign forever and ever. Amen.
Thank you, gentlemen. And now let us turn to selection 402, Abide With Me. And let us stand as we sing all the verses of 402. Amen. Be seated, please. Now, if one of the deacons could bring a microphone to us, there are people who would like to bring some remembrances. They would like to make some remarks. We start with the family. Anybody here wants to say something? All right. And introduce yourself to us, please.
Hi, I'm Daniel Clapp, Wes's younger brother. Not quite the baby brother, but the younger brother. We came here from Massachusetts to honor Jenny's memory and to thank God for the wonderful part that she had in our lives. In particular, I knew Jenny well before her health problems, of course, and I'd like to give you a couple of stories so you can understand a little bit more of what she was like before she had the health problems, which limited her so significantly. I first met her in 1955 when she was on the staff of the InterVarsity Christian Fellowship at conferences that we had in our area, the Albany area of New York State. Well before she went to India, well before she went to Africa. I'd like to give you a couple of stories and just sort of two characteristics in particular that I would like to sort of emphasize about her life. She was a woman of very humble service. She was not one to try to give profound statements and erudite discussions. You'd more likely find her in the kitchen where she'd be doing the dishes and cleaning up. She had a gift of personal counseling, which some of you may already know about. Very effective, profound, devoted listener, godly advice, quiet, sincere, effective counseling and advice. Her advice was so effective, in fact, that the wife that I married upon her advice has been with me now for 52 years.
I met Jenny about 57 years. Okay. I met Jenny about 57 years ago when she was a resident at Columbia Presbyterian Nursing or Medical Center. I was a nursing student there for pediatrics, and she had started a Sunday school for all the children in the hospital, about 8 floors. And I was just amazed that someone could start something like that. And then one night a week, she taught the teachers, and most were InterVarsity students. She would teach us the lesson, and then on Sunday, we would take that and aim it towards our age group. That had such an impression on me, but then all the rest of her life has been a joy, a help. I have never met anyone who could listen like Jenny. She was all there with you. She was very precious to me, and I'm glad I'm in this family. Thank you.
My Aunt Jenny was one of three girls. My mother was the youngest in the family. If she was here today, she would tell you about Jenny, what she meant to her growing up. Their mother passed away when she was the age of 43. Jenny was 11 and a half, and my mother was about 5. You can see I have a 5-year-old son, so I can kind of appreciate what that's like. And kind of losing a mother at that age, Jenny became a mother to my mother. And she got my mother involved with Sunday school, going to Miss Ducey's class, and it really carried over from there. And my mother ended up getting lots of tapes from R.C. Sproul, from Leaner Ministries, and just the impact that Jenny had in my mother's life and our lives was very key. And she, as becoming kind of like a mother to my mother, she took my mother for tennis, swimming lessons, and just made sure that she had a lot of experiences that she probably would not have had had she lost, you know, without her mom. And I think perhaps maybe it was at this young age that Jenny learned to be a servant. I think that she was somebody who always was serving those around her. After my folks were married, my father went to Korea, and my mother was in New York City probably about the same time Sue was there, and Jenny was at Columbia Babies Hospital. And even though she was interning there and worked lots of hours, She always had the time for my mother and made sure that my mother was okay while my dad was over in Korea. When Jenny returned home from her pediatric mission work in India, she was there to help out with my sister's birth. And then in 1990, when my sister had twins, her last two, Jenny came out from California to help out with those pregnancies. That not only helped out my sister, but also gave Wes and I the opportunity to do the High Sierra Loop hike of about a week where you go from one camp to the next camp. So it was a good thing for everybody, and Jenny would make that sacrifice. Many of my memories of Jenny do come from our summer vacations and from visits to Yosemite. It was Jenny's desire that all her nieces and nephews attend University Christian Fellowships Camp, Ontario Pioneer Camp, which made a significant impact, I know, in my life and probably the rest of the nieces and nephews that are here today. yeah, I go back. Yeah, we won't tell those stories. But Jenny and Wes did provide the support to my parents to make sure that we could get there summer after summer, and 2 weeks led to 4 weeks, which sometimes became 6 weeks, and it was a great place for us to go in the summertime. Jenny and Wes worked there as camp doctors, and even during that time, Jenny would insist on doing my laundry. At that time, as a 12-year-old, I'd give her my two pair of socks and two pair of underwear that needed to be washed, but Jenny would wash it three or four times, and then I think she caught on my tricks and would ask for my laundry a little bit more frequently. But, you know, Jenny was, that was Jenny. I mean, there was nothing that she wouldn't do for you. Over the years, Jenny was always there for those who knew her, and as I think Dan and Sue had mentioned, she was quick to listen and slow to speak, and she always spoke the words of encouragement.
I'm Linda Clapp. I know why Wes and Jenny love this place so much. It feels really good to be here. My connection with Jenny began when I was 8 or 9 years old. This beautiful young woman doctor, Dr. Virginia Van Guyt, came to stay with my family for a while in the Boston area. She was doing some work in Boston. And she was my childhood hero. I wanted to be like her in every way. Jenny knew how to listen to a child. Sue mentioned her skills in listening. She would pay attention and converse with me and allow me as a child to express myself and who I was and what I thought. And she let me know that she valued what I said or what I did or what I thought. And she did it with her beautiful smile and her sparkling eyes and her way of tilting her head and saying, "Ah, Linda." And I'll never forget that sound of love in her voice when she did that. And that was such a good beginning for me, because now my work has to do with listening to children. It's important to listen to children. When I went off to college, Jenny gave me a beautiful illustrated card with this verse: "Being confident of this very thing, that he who has begun a good work in you will perform it until the day of Jesus Christ." It became my life verse, and I expect it was one of hers. I kept it on my desk for many years, and I reflect on it often as I struggle and grow and struggle and grow. And it helps me to remember that Jenny was part of my good beginning. Jenny influenced the lives of my whole family in many ways. She gave us many gifts. And I have to tell you, another gift was when she met and fell in love with Wes Clapp, and they would visit my family. They would tell me about Stevie with the long hair who played the violin. And when they visited the Clapp family in New Jersey, they would tell him about little Linda who could cook and sew. And they started hinting and I think praying. And we're celebrating our 47th wedding anniversary. So she was wise, but I think the wisdom was shared with Wes and Jenny there. For me, Jenny modeled the woman whose beauty is a gentle and quiet spirit. She modeled servanthood, as so many of us have said and observed. She obviously thought better of others than of herself and always put others first. And she was fun. There was a lot of laughter and always ice cream. But I was thinking today on the flight here that I hope that she knew how very special she was to all of us and how very faithful to the Lord that she served. And then I thought, certainly she knows that now. And if she knows, I'm sure she's surprised.
Again, my name is Dave Clapp. Jenny was my aunt. And my wife and I have been married for 37 years, and God blessed us with two great kids. And the reason that's significant is because as a young married couple, in a world back 37 years ago, we were challenged and asking, do we really want to have kids and bring them into this world? And it was Jenny Clapp who gave us wise counsel, who said, yes, you really do. Because what happens if Christians stop having children? What's going to happen in this world? And it was through her loving encouragement. Now, in God's grace, we may have still had kids, but God seemed to use Jenny to help us make that decision that, yes, it was a positive thing for us to bring children into this world. And we're blessed today with two great kids and three grandchildren, and much of that stems today because of Jenny Clapp.
I really don't have that much to add, but I'd like to add something to what Bob said about Pioneer Camp. It was a important time in my life. It was one of my first times away from home, and I kept going back summer after summer. And Wes and Jenny, who I just remembered from the program, their nicknames were Steph and Scope at camp. I'd forgotten that, but on the Sundays we would go off to chapel, but on the way back, well, I would go to chapel and I'd walk by their cabin on the way, and I'd know that later on in the afternoon I would have family, even though this was up in Ontario. So Wes and Jenny were my family up in Canada for many years.
Thanks for letting us in. Tom Messner and my wife Kathleen from Ohio. And everyone else, I think, is family and related to family. And we're friends. And we count it a privilege to be called friends. Wes and Jenny came into our life a number of years ago, once again, as our oldest was at Pioneer Camp. And then were true blessings to Kathy, my wife, and I, and our five children. Over a number of years, and correspondence would go back and forth to California and then to North Carolina. But there's one thing I want to share as I walked in the house today and got to see my friend Wes. And it wasn't too long into the conversation that I realized there's a prayer warrior that Jenny represented. And in those letters that would go back and forth, she always wanted to know about the children and what's this and what can we pray for. And there's probably many of you in this congregation that they have prayed for you or faithful for that. And that's what Wes shared with us as he had pictures of many families across their chimney mail. And the words came out of his mouth, I spend time in prayer for them. And I appreciate that, Wes. So carry on. Thank you.
All right. Thank you. Let's sing again. And this time it is selection 689, Be Still My Soul. Let's stand as we sing. 689. Thank you. Amen. Be seated, please. When we come face to face with losing our loved ones, there's something inside of us that says, I don't like this. And in fact, I think the voice inside of us is even stronger than that. I think the testimony is the cry of our hearts, things ought not to be this way. People should continue to live. We don't like death, and we don't like separation. And when we don't like death and the separation it brings, it is our hearts telling us that we want something that is everlasting. The Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes says, God has put eternity into our hearts. We want life to go on, but of course we want it to be a good life. We don't want a life of fighting and discontentment. We want the life of love and support. So there's something inside of us that cries out for eternity, and it cries out for a good eternity. And the God who has instilled this longing in our hearts has made the fulfillment of that longing possible through the work of His Son, Jesus Christ, in His death and in His resurrection. He was crucified to pay the penalty for sin, and also crucified to break the power of sin over His people. So that when Christ is resurrected from the grave and He offers this promise now to resurrect others because He has been crucified to deal with sin, that cry of our hearts is going to be satisfied. He provides life, and He provides life without sin. And He has promised to give eternal life to anyone who asks Him to give it. And there He stands by Himself, because there is no one else in all of this creation and all of history who has made that promise. Now, of course, there are attempts at man-made substitutions, but they always fail. The Old Testament told us about some of these attempts at a substitute for God and its failure. And here I'm thinking of Isaiah chapter 50. In verse 10, who among you feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of His servant, that walketh in darkness and hath no light? Let him trust in the name of the Lord and stay upon His God. In other words, God is the light. And Jesus claimed He was that light, as He was God incarnate. But Isaiah then went on. After talking about God's gift of light, he went on and gave this warning. Behold, all ye that kindle a fire, that compass yourselves about with sparks. Notice that great contrast between the God who's the light and what we come up with are those little sparks of our own little fires. And you who walk in the light of your fire, and in the sparks you have kindled, this shall ye have from my hand. Ye shall lie down in sorrow. In other words, no person can kindle his own fire as a substitute for the great light of life, which alone belongs to God. What a hope He gives His people. Hope of resurrection. I was in Minnesota a little while ago, and my brother took me to the old neighborhood back to see 5225 35th Avenue North. The house that we lived in when I was in the first grade through the sixth grade, and it had been a simple bungalow on a slab, no basement, in a housing development where every single house looked the same. You never were afraid to go visit your friends. You could always find your way around the house because their house looked exactly the way your house did. And my brother warned me. He had gone back to take a look. And he said 2 years ago, the bungalow was torn down. And now there is a vacant lot. 5225 doesn't exist anymore. I said, still, I want to see the old neighborhood. So we drove through the neighborhood heading for that vacant lot, remembering things like where Charlotte lived. You know how you do that. And where the Leader brothers, Larry and Lonnie Leader, lived in that neighborhood. And Gene Loosbrock and Cliff Nelson. We remembered all those. And then we came to that lot of our old, humble dwelling. And my brother was right. The house had been torn down. But listen to this. To our mutual amazement, in the place of that little bungalow, there now stood a large, new, split-level, three-car garage house. And here was the most amazing thing of all. It had our number on it. It said 5225. That's our address. That's our identity. But it's in a whole new building. And now you know what the resurrection is all about. So many of us did not know Ginny very well in this congregation. By the time she came to us, she had already become frail, already become hard of hearing. If you'll allow me the comparison, it was as if the humble bungalow of her body was already wasting away. Now here, with, I hope, new ears, what the Apostle Paul wrote to the Corinthians. For we know that if this tent, may I substitute, this humble bungalow, which is our earthly home, is destroyed, we have a building from God, a house not made with hands, which is eternal in the heavens. This is true for Ginny Clapp. It is true for all who trust in Christ to deliver from sin and death. Or let's put it this way, to rebuild us. And I tell you, that's why this is called good news. I hope you believe that. Amen. Come, let's pray together. Our Father and our God, as the Apostle Peter before us said, well, where shall we go? To whom else shall we go? You alone have the words of eternal life. Will you open the ears of our hearts and the eyes of our hearts that we may hear and see and believe? This is what we ask. And we dare to ask this with confidence because we're praying in Jesus' name. Amen. Now here's our final hymn, Selection 691. It is well with my soul. Let us stand as we sing together. 691. After the benediction, why don't we give the family and friends a moment to exit first, and we'll join them in the fellowship hall. Right? Here's the benediction from our God. And now the God of peace, that brought again from the dead our Lord Jesus, that great shepherd of the sheep, through the blood of the everlasting covenant, make you perfect in every good work to do his will, working in you that which is well-pleasing in his sight, through Jesus Christ, to whom be glory forever and ever. Amen. The grace of the Lord Jesus Christ be with your spirits. Behold, he is coming with the clouds. Amen.